Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
We are welcoming back a previous guest. You were last here with the Lord Mayor. Her name is Angie Green. She's a great proponent for equality in sport, I think is a good way to start. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are delighted to have you. We should perhaps touch on last night's result.
We've already done that. We're actually quite happy about the result.
Hawthorn out in straight sets, so they won't break Brisbane's record of three in a row this year.
No, I think I definitely think the Doggies deserve to win last night. It was really exciting.
So. You have a connection to Hawthorn, though, don't you?
I do, and I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but my oldest brother Steve played for Hawthorn for 5 years, and my dad Russell's in the Hawthorn Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So,
Was that an uncle as well?
No.
No, okay. I'm getting confused.
Well,
that's a bit naughty not to support the team.
No, I absolutely support them.
And the family.
No, I absolutely support my family, but I think it was really exciting for the Doggies. And also, having said this, I think a lot of people assume that because of my family connection, I would be obsessed with sport and the AFL, but I'm actually not, and hence the reason why I started stand-up events. So,
Well, it was a good result, and for all of those Doggy supporters who are celebrating this morning, celebrate hard. It's going to be a tough week next week against GWS, but I think we could probably stack the crowd a little bit because they've only got about 15,000 members, and most of them are Sydney and Canberra-based. So if you want to see finals footy, I'd suggest a ticket to next weekend's game between GWS and the Footscray Football Club would be well worth spending a few bucks.
It'll be awesome.
It will. Tell us a little bit, or remind us a little bit about stand-up events, first of all.
Yeah, sure. So I started stand-up events last year in January. However, it didn't become a non-for-profit until July last year. The main goal of stand-up events is to challenge heteronormative cultures with the main focus on sport. We're in the process at the moment of creating customised preventative programs to implement into junior sporting codes in both rural and metropolitan areas to hopefully create impact and also eradicate homophobic language and behaviour from a really young age.
So if my local football club wanted to do something that would be inclusive of LGBT people, What could it do that with practically?
I think there are quite a few things that you can do, especially from an external point of view. Colours on your jersey or posters around your club website, things like that. However, I think to make real change, a lot of things have to happen internally. And I know I'm jumping a bit here, but for example, I couldn't speak more highly of the St Kilda Football Club for that reason.
Yes.
When they did the Pride game, not only did they do a incredible job to show support externally in the colours and represent the non-hetero community. I couldn't speak more highly of Matt Finnis because he did so much work internally with the players and the staff.
I agree with you, but let's just take it back to and drill it down to the local club. What could it do that would be different? I mean, you've talked about a couple of things like making information available or allowing people to wear colours, rainbow colours, I presume. But what are the practical things that the local athletics club or the local swimming club could do that would be inclusive of LGBTI people?
To be completely honest, we at the moment are just concentrating on the educational side of things.
Okay.
Yeah. And we do run events throughout the year, so people can come to our events and you know, see awareness and education through that way, but also a celebration of all types of people. However, yeah, we're mainly about the educational side of things.
Yeah, okay, okay. Because I did ask a similar question to our last guest,
yes,
who's from the Melbourne show.
Yep.
And I said, so what, you know, what's the show doing to actually, you know, make the show more accessible to LGBTI people?
Yeah.
And we talked a bit about equality and what that means and how you might do things to make it much more accessible for people who might have a physical disability, for example.
Right.
You know, we're familiar with those. That's very practical. But what do you do that's actually inclusive for LGBTI people? And I think that's a sort of a question that I'd like to just toss around and see what sort of ideas come up with. I'm sure there are lots of ideas. But, you know, I know, for example, Safe Schools and Schools have been trying to get schools to not only have education programs that are going to be inclusive, but to also have policies. Now, why are they important? They're important because they actually set the framework. They actually talk about what's acceptable. They talk about what's not acceptable.
Absolutely.
They talk about the sort of focus that you might want to take.
Yeah.
So they're the sorts of ideas that I was hoping that we might explore with the show.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, definitely through our programs, we very much speak about inclusive language and discriminative and derogatory language. Which I think is incredibly important to creating a safe culture for all people.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Angie, we spoke a few weeks ago to somebody from the Ruby Demons, which is a LGBT supporter group. I know those groups exist at North Melbourne, Sydney, St Kilda,
Essendon, North Melbourne.
And North. Yeah. Is there going to come a time where all clubs will probably have an LGBT supporters group? Because they're working to create safe spaces for people to go and enjoy sport. And there is a perception that we don't like sport, that we'd rather be shopping on Saturday than at the footy, which is utterly incorrect.
Or at a buffet.
Yeah, well, shut up.
Yeah.
So there is that, I think, that need at this stage for those supporter groups. Is it something that you would like to see across all clubs?
Oh, 100%. And I definitely can't speak on behalf of any AFL or sporting clubs, but I think that that's absolutely imperative to change and making people feel welcome in sport and in the crowd.
Mm. And we've got to provide safe environments where, because the language that's used at football games can be quite colourful and quite often is derogatory, whether it's directed at umpires, players, other members of the crowd.
Yeah,
I spend a lot of time at the footy through the season, so I hear a lot, and it's sort of, there's an example, a bunch of blokes that I go to the footy with who will yell out, "Hey, buddy, poofter," and then they turn around straight away and say, "Oh, sorry, Pete." So it's already starting to happen at that level, I think.
I really do believe the power of individuals, and I think so much change can happen with individuals and hopefully through that have a ripple effect. And I think it is, pardon the pun, but really up to more people standing up in situations like that, you know, saying that is absolutely not acceptable or mate, you're better than that, whatever it might be. Because so often, a lot of the time, there isn't malice or intention behind it, but that, however, does not make it okay. Mm. And so I think the more we can call out that behaviour and language, absolutely, the better to creating a safer environment.
Indeed. Now, I'm actually going to be controversial. I think there is malice behind it. Now, you know, whether it is the female fan throwing a banana at an Indigenous player, whether it is, you know, people in the crowd, you know, say, "Oh, you played like a poofter." Well, if you did play like a poofter, you might play a bit better. But, but you know, the reality is that, you know, some of the comments I heard around the Pride match, and you read some of the blogs or the flogs.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, when do we have a straight Pride match? When do we, you know, how do you counter, okay, in an individual, you know, in a crowd situation, you know, that's difficult to counter that. But, you know, when you're out there talking to groups and stuff, and you know there are people in the audience that are thinking, "Oh, look, you know, really?
Do we have to
this LGBTI stuff? It's really, it's, you know, I don't really hold with that."
Mm.
And, you know, people make little comments. Now, I'm not saying they're absolutely filled with hate and bile.
But they're still attached to something.
It's attached to something. So, I mean, how do you counter that? Sure, St Kilda did some fantastic work, you know, around the Pride match and how, you know, how their executive team spoke to the players. But again, this isn't random stuff.
Mm.
You know, throwing a banana at an Indigenous
player. It's actually institutionalised. That's the point that you're making.
So how do you counter this, Angie? I mean, you know, you're out there, you know, you're fighting the good fight, but you must know, you know, a lot of these people listening to you, they're doing it under sufferance. Mm. Or, you know, they don't want to speak out. I'm not saying they should speak out because it's offensive, but how do you counter it? Sorry, I went on a bit then.
So the world's longest question.
Yeah. Take it as a statement.
Oh, look, it is difficult. And look, I know that you probably think that sometimes people are sitting there going, oh man, why do we have to listen to this? But I cop a lot from not only the hetero community, but the non-hetero community. I've definitely had non-hetero people say to me, you're straight, what would you know? Which has definitely been interesting, and definitely the first time that I've been cautious of my sexuality and potentially being discriminated by my sexuality.
Well, it's a bit of reverse discrimination, but there's a reason that you set this up in the first place.
Oh, absolutely. And Maka, to be completely honest, you know, the fact that we're a year old, I'm definitely still learning through everything that I do. But it's been really incredible going into. I've now spoken to 13 different clubs. That's from an AFL level and also a local level and also a junior level, and when I do say to them, I'm really trying to drill the message of awareness, and I hope that this isn't too controversial to say on your radio station.
Not this morning, I don't think.
If you listen to the first hour, you're home and home.
No. But, you know, I obviously tell, I start off with my personal story about my brothers and my family, and then I bring a question into the club and I say, look, I'm not trying to point the finger at anyone, but whether it's you saying it or someone else, how often do you say or hear things around your sporting culture, such as faggot, poof, that's okay, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, yeah.
100% of hands go up.
Correct.
Every single time. And then I go, okay. And I say, what about abo or nigger? And I feel sick saying that. And they are automatically taken aback and 100% of hands go down. Mm. And the reason why I draw that parallel is because I'm like, to me, there is absolutely no difference between racism and homophobia.
Correct.
Apart from the fact that you can't hide your skin colour, and nor should you. So we
but you can't, you know, you're born that skin colour and you're born with that sexuality.
Oh, no, 100%. But what I'm saying is, like, how many people...
As opposed to attacking a Collingwood. No,
but, you know, how many people would be still hiding in the closet because they can. And then I asked the club, I say, you know, how if you knew that someone here was trans or gender fluid, gay or bisexual, would you ever use that language again? And all of them put their hands down, which I think is promising. But
setting up a great point.
So why is that occurring, do you think? Is that because they have personal exposure?
I think it's... Sorry, what's occurring? Sorry.
Oh, well, why would they change their or modify their behaviour if they knew that somebody in their club, one of their teammates, might be gay, bi or
Look, I definitely can't speak for clubs and I can't speak for individuals, but I think there's awareness of, you know, we hear casual homophobia all the time, and I think that there's a really disgusting acceptance around it, and I think drawing those parallels and making people aware of how damaging that language can actually be, I think has a lot of impact. And I also think, you know, if they're thinking using that language is not affecting anyone around them, they're absolutely incorrect. And so hopefully if they actually knew that someone in their team didn't identify as heterosexual, then potentially, and you would absolutely hope that that language would definitely stop.
And I don't think it's even about identifying. I think if there is a question whether that person may not eventually identify as heterosexual, it's all about breeding acceptance. And I want to talk about Nikki Winmar. We're just going to play a couple of messages. Talk about Nikki Winmar and his son. And you touched on the fact that there's a very personal story behind this. I'd like to share that with our listeners, if you're willing. Angie Green is our guest. She is the founder of stand-up events. Angie, we were talking just before we went to that little break about your personal story, and you wanted to elaborate a bit on why is a heterosexual woman taking on the advocacy for our community as you do.
Sure. I'm the youngest of three. I've got two older brothers, Brent and Stephen. Brent's gay, Stephen's straight. And I grew up in a really sporting family with my brother playing AFL for my sorry Stephen playing AFL for 5 years and VFL for three, father Russell Green in the Hawthorn Hall of Fame, and my grandfather Frank Sedgwick won 22 tennis Grand Slams. And as I grew up, I was exposed to the sporting culture, I guess you could say, a bit more than the average person.
What a sporting pedigree.
I know. Are you any good at sport?
No, day drinking's my sport. I definitely am not sporty at all, which is unfortunate. But a lot of people would, I think, naturally assume that I loved the sporting culture growing up, and I didn't at all. And that was because I saw the differing experiences of my two brothers. Brent's a freak athlete himself, but he has openly admitted that, you know, he just excluded himself from team sports because of the, I guess, fear and embarrassment.
Anticipated stigma. Mm.
Absolutely. A lot of internalised homophobia and what have you. And I guess being the younger sister, that was quite difficult to witness. And as I kept on maturing, I just kept seeing the culture not changing. Mm. And I don't want to generalise, but through research and a lot of the conversations that I've had since starting stand-up, it's really not uncommon how many people don't feel included in the sporting culture, who don't identify as heterosexual. And that just literally breaks my heart, and that's absolutely not good enough. And also, I'm 29, and before the age of 23, I lost three friends to suicide, and unfortunately lost another friend a few months ago. All male. Men are twice as likely to suicide than women, but you then put the non-hetero community into the equation, and that I've heard
three times more.
Yeah,
likely,
yeah, and 14% more likely to attempt suicide. That is so staggering.
That's not good enough.
Oh, yeah. It's disgraceful, and just so much more needs to be done. And if there's absolutely anything that I, on a personal level, or our association can do to make people feel more safe and included, the better.
Sounds like a good reason to have a plebiscite, doesn't it?
Oh, my God.
Don't get us. No, we're not going back there, Macca. We have Macca,
we've done that.
You'll never get me off, Macca.
We've had World War III in this studio
all
this
morning. I did mention Nicky Winmar as well. So
yes.
Nicky had a difficult relationship with his son.
Tynan. Yep.
Tynan, sort of, there was a very big news story around the Pride round where Nicky talked about being the father of a gay kid.
Yeah.
Tynan's in his 20s.
Yeah.
I think that took them a long journey to get to that point to be able to talk about that publicly. But I think, you know, we remember a very famous incident with Nicky Winmar where he lifted his St Kilda jumper and pointed to the colour of his skin. Mm. And he was able to use that situation to remind him about acceptance for his own son. Do we need more stories like that?
Oh, absolutely. I personally think that the most powerful stories do come from personal stories. And I was with, I had the pleasure and honour of meeting Nicky and his son Tynan, because my father and I were also affiliated with the Pride game, which was incredibly touching. And hearing Nicky speak about Tynan and Tynan speaking about Nicky was just incredible. And I was on a panel with Dad and Nicky and Tynan. And he, you know, Tynan, Nicky said, I was so proud, you know, 23 years ago to stand up for racism, and now I couldn't be more proud that the same club is standing up against homophobia. And their relationship and their story is just incredible. Tynan's an exceptional man.
Yeah, cracking young man.
Yeah.
And you know, culturally, that's a really, it's an even more difficult journey, you know, for Indigenous people.
Absolutely. And I hope Tynan doesn't mind me saying this, but he has been very open about this. He said, you know, growing up under a famous dad such as Nicky Winmar and all that he's done for sport was incredibly difficult being a young gay man. And he said on this panel, he said, you know, it's hard enough being a gay young man, but especially in the Indigenous culture, it's just absolutely not spoken about. So I think they've done an incredible job to shed awareness and light on...
Gutsy.
Yeah,
gutsy.
Absolutely.
How, and this is going to... It's that age of, you know, $64,000 question about one or more AFL players making the decision to publicly declare their sexuality. It's not a requirement as far as anybody is concerned. But we all that have a difference on the way that playing groups perceive their own. I mean, there's obviously statistics would tell us, nature will tell us that there's gay players.
Yeah.
And there are people within clubs who know that those gay players exist and support them quite privately.
Yeah.
We often hear calls for there is a need for AFL players to come out. I don't think that's I don't know that I agree with that. But how much of an impact will that then have on playing groups and the way that they use language and the way that they sledge one another on teams?
Yeah.
And then, of course, that will extend out to how will supporter bases see that?
Yeah. I'm with you. I have a real issue with the thought that someone has to come out and declare their sexuality to the world. I'm a bit conflicted about that. Do I think that that would have an incredible impact on the sporting culture? 100%. However, I'm kind of the mindset of why should it take one or several people to declare their sexuality and proactively come out to make that happen? I always say to openly and also to my family and friends that what I would personally love to see is not necessarily a declaration, but, you know, the culture and the safety and the environment of the sporting world changes progressively, where I would love someone just to rock up to the Best and Fairest or the Brownlow with their partner, like everyone else does and should be allowed to.
And not be asked on a catwalk, what are you wearing?
Yeah.
Or who are you wearing?
Yeah, absolutely. Or you know, like, oh, who are you with today? Oh, this is my partner, Craig. Whatever. Yep, like, exactly. And then that's it. I just think that's everyone's right to be able to do that.
Can you see that happening, though? Is that something that is imminent from your association with the work that you do with clubs? Is it imminent, or do you think that we're still not ready as a sport, as a community, as an organisation?
It's hard to...
I don't want to put you in it.
No, absolutely. No, absolutely. Look, I started this a year and a half ago, and it has been eye-opening how far behind we actually are. Even speaking to the 13 clubs that I've personally spoken to, I have asked the player welfare managers if anyone has spoken to these clubs before about sexual and gender equality and especially homophobia, and to the answer, which has been no, obviously apart from St Kilda. So I found that really baffling, and a lot of the conversations that I've had, I really hope that that kind of cultural awareness would happen much sooner rather than later. However, I don't know if that's going to be the case, unfortunately.
So, Angie, because we're almost running out of time, what are your take-out messages, and what is one or two things that we can all take away with us to actually make a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. I genuinely believe that the biggest thing is calling out bad behaviour. I think whether it's, you know, friends using it casually or, you know, if you're out at a pub and hear it, I think having the courage to prove to these people that it's simply not okay to say certain things and act a certain way, because it's making people feel like shit, and it's making people not... Oh, my God, sorry.
No,
sorry.
You're allowed to say
sorry.
Beautifully.
We've said a lot worse this morning.
Yeah, look, it just breaks my heart that we as a culture are still where we are. We're nearly in 2017, and I think I would just really, I don't want to point the finger out to anyone, but anyone who's listening, if you can make the smallest impact, you have no idea how much that might mean to another person in the crowd, or to potentially family and your friends or yourself. And I think calling out that behaviour and language is absolutely pivotal to change.
Great.
Angie, congratulations on this work. It's tireless, and it takes a lot of effort and energy.
Yeah, I haven't slept in a year and a half, but that's okay.
We applaud you for doing it and doing it on behalf of your brothers and with your family. It's incredibly important. Thanks for coming back and joining us today. Can we just get a tip for the game that is to follow, Sydney and Geelong?
Oh, I think Sydney.
Okay. I'd like to see that, actually.
Yeah, I'm sick of Geelong.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.